Skagway Assemblyman Dan Henry was sentenced to a year and a day in prison. And wildfire haze over the Upper Lynn Canal is no cause for alarm. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. A Skagway Borough Assembly member and businessman convicted of failing to file his income tax returns was ordered to spend just over a year in prison. 61-year-old Dan Henry, operator of the Skagway Fish Company, will spend a year on supervised release after he gets out of prison. He must also pay over $600,000 in restitution to the federal government for unpaid back income taxes. In a written statement to the court, Henry said alcoholism led to his dismissal from earlier jobs and a DUI conviction. He also blamed heavy drinking for gambling away all of the money he set aside for the 2005 season's start of the Skagway Fish Company and payment of taxes. He put off filing his income taxes as he repeatedly returned to Las Vegas with the hope of winning his money back, but the losses simply compounded over the years. Henry also wrote that he worked hard, long hours to build up the Skagway Fish Company over the years, but there is no one else to replace him and fill in his multiple roles at the business. He ends his letter by apologizing for his conduct and acknowledging that he must make restitution as soon as possible. Henry was sentenced in U.S. District Court in Juneau on Monday on 4 misdemeanor charges of willful failure to file income tax returns. The charges are only for Henry's conduct between 2009 and 2012, although prosecutors say he admitted to relevant conduct dating back to 2004. Last February, Henry pleaded guilty as part of an agreement reached between prosecutors and his attorney over nearly 2 years of negotiations. Defense attorney Robert Bundy had asked that Henry be sentenced to 8 months in prison, while prosecutors wanted him to spend 2 years behind bars and pay a $50,000 fine. Assistant U.S. Attorney Jack Schmidt noted in a sentencing memorandum that Henry, quote, was not overly sophisticated in avoiding his tax responsibilities, end quote, but he did file fraudulent financial disclosure reports with the Alaska Public Offices Commission that claimed no self-employment income over $1,000 from 2010 to 2012. The APOC case remains unresolved. Schmidt also noted that Henry received checks and deposits that were structured in order to hide his income. Defense lawyer Bundy noted Henry's 15 years of service with the Skagway City Council and Borough Assembly that included the position of Finance Committee Chairman. Other community members also submitted letters and a video of support noting Henry's community involvement on education, senior, and veterans issues. U.S. District Court Judge Timothy Burgess on Monday ordered Henry to a year in prison for 3 charges to be served concurrently. For the 4th charge, Henry will spend a day in prison to be served consecutively with the other term. Henry, whose current term on the Skagway Borough Assembly ends in October 2017, must report to a federal prison facility by November 1, 2016. The haze that's been lingering over the Upper Lynn Canal for a day or so is likely from fires far away, meteorologists say. While it's not known for sure which fires are the cause of the smoky fog, officials agree that there is no immediate danger. Tuesday morning, residents in Haines and Skagway started noticing a haze hanging around in both communities, but it's not from fires close by. Sharon Alden, a meteorologist with the Alaska Interagency Coordination Center, says after examining satellite imagery and webcams, she can see the haze, but she can't quite figure out where it's coming from. There's currently a fire burning really hot in northern British Columbia, but it's more than 100 miles away, and the wind is blowing in the wrong direction for residents here to see or smell the effects, she says. There's a wildfire smoldering near Tok, too, but again, the wind is blowing in the wrong direction. The AICC map shows 2 tiny fires between Haines and Juneau, though one is reportedly extinguished and the other is a fraction of an acre in size. In short, Alden says she can't find a concrete source for the smoke. Down in Juneau, National Weather Service meteorologist David Levin says it's possible the smoke traveled from elsewhere in the state days ago and is just now settling here. He says the smoky haze has popped up on weather cameras around southeast.
We imagine it must be something that got picked up over the interior, or maybe over the Kenai, and got kind of translated over the Gulf over several days and is just now reaching here. So it's nothing that is directly coming from the interior or from the fires up in Canada. But best of our estimation, it's probably come over the Gulf, and it's just taken a couple of days to actually get here.
Levin says it's common for Southeast to get some forest fire smoke throughout the summer from across Alaska and northern Canada.
Not typical necessarily for it to come across the Gulf and to make that long trek from this, you know, coming in from the west. But yeah, you know, it's possible.
He says a recent high pressure system in the region helped bring the smoke here.
Anything that's kind of down near the surface, up to, you know, 4,000 feet or so, just kind of gets trapped down there. It can't rise up and disperse. So that's kind of the case. And then, you know, the westerly flow at the surface and over the lower levels, that just kind of, whatever is down there and is trapped, just kind of gets moved along with the wind flow.
Levin says there is no fire danger in the area and visibility is still good, so flights are not affected at this time. The Yukon's environmental watchdogs are condemning the British Columbia government's failure to restrict a herbicide spraying program on the White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. The plan to spray was denied in the Yukon because of concerns that it could contaminate Bennett Lake, the drinking water source for the small Yukon town of Carcross. Last month, residents of Carcross protested the use of herbicides on the White Pass Railroad tracks. The tracks run from Skagway through British Columbia and into the Yukon. The CBC reports that the BC government allowed the spraying halfway down Bennett Lake to the Yukon border. Sebastian Jones is an analyst with the Yukon Conservation Society.
Asking them to do things differently or not do it at all in the Yukon is going to have only a limited effect if they're doing it right across the border. I, NYCS, and the Carcross Tagish First Nation are, of course, not thrilled at all that British Columbia things are. Go ahead, boys, do whatever you want.
The rail bed skirts the entire east shoreline of Bennett Lake from the White Pass Station at Bennett, B.C. to Carcross in the Yukon. The Yukon government has advised the railway contractor that it has until August 10th to submit alternate plans for weed control on the Yukon section of the railway. The CBC reported that late last month, the Yukon government denied an application to spray pesticides on the rail bed skirting Bennett Lake. The government told the CBC that the contractor for White Pass will have to change its plans if it wants to control weeds heading into Carcross. Environment Yukon told the CBC it doesn't trust the contractor's plan to keep contaminants out of nearby waterways. The decision comes after the company has already sprayed the rail bed from Skagway to the border. Jennifer Degg is the standards manager for the Territorial Environment Department. She says the Yukon has stricter regulations than its neighbors.
We have a way of reviewing projects on a site-specific basis, and the Alaska and BC both have some exemptions for particular applications of pesticides, of which this project kind of fit into those exemptions, but not here.
Carcross residents raised concerns about contamination of the community's drinking water. Degg says their concerns were a factor in the government's decision. According to the CBC, Degg suggests the contractor may get approval if it changes the products it plans to use for weed control. Carcross's Keith Seaboyer is one of the residents lobbying to keep the pesticides out of the Yukon.
The big concern is if they have a leak or any spill at all, it could contaminate Lake Bennett. And people here rely on their water, drinking water from this area. Also, they rely on tourism. Would you spend your hard-earned money to go to a contaminated lake on your holiday?
White Pass says its plan is the best way to maintain the integrity of the rail bed between Carcross and Skagway. The company told the CBC it already had approval to spray the tracks from Skagway through BC to the border. Environment Yukon's Degg says the agency has received at least 40 submissions from people on the proposal. She says discussions are also ongoing with the Carcross Tagish First Nation. The Yukon government has given the Alaska contractor until the end of the week to revise its plans. White Pass used a herbicide called Oust along the rail beds earlier this summer. Railroad representatives say spraying the tracks decreases overgrown vegetation that can make for an unsafe route. Similar concerns arose in June in Skagway in regards to drinking water, but an official from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation told KHNS that the active ingredient in Oust is not one that would threaten Skagway's synthetic organic contaminants waiver. The waiver releases public water systems from testing for synthetic organic chemical contaminants like herbicides. This story was used with permission from CBC Yukon. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.